Morning all. So, podcast in strange times again. We've been doing quite a few webinars of late around complaint handling in the current climate. And obviously, the podcasts that we're doing at the moment are kind of specifically for dealing with COVID-19 and the unique times that we're going through. And today we did a webinar last week and we were going to talk about the FCA FOS guidance that's come out, but we ran out of time basically, didn't we? There was lots going on.
Yeah. So it was really good, but it was busy.
It was very busy. Yeah. It was very busy. But so we're going to talk about the FOS and the FCA guidance this morning on this podcast. Now, I'll be honest, we both feel that there isn't an awful lot out there, but we wanted to talk through what is out there, which isn't very much, is it? Let's face it.
No, I mean, and it was a real concern, wasn't it, that people were expressing last week about they are driven at the moment to comply with the FCA rules, DISP rules in particular, when we're talking to them about complaints. And that had priority above everything else, didn't it?
Yeah,
and they're seeing an increase in volumes as well. So there's a real tension between the two, and this real fear I think people have got that they're going to get in trouble, and also I think a bit of misunderstanding about what the FCA has actually said around handling complaints too. That came out, didn't it?
Alarmingly, someone put a comment up saying, "Oh well, we've been told that basically you don't have to worry about any of the regulations at the moment." It's like, whoa, stop, put the brakes on. That's not what's been said. No. But that's just like, how on earth did that happen? But yeah. At the end of the day, the FCA, ultimately, they are still driving forward with their cultural changes that they want to put in. And although we are in unique and worrying times, that hasn't changed. So please don't think that the regulations don't apply. They really do. And it's really important that you still apply them. But what they have said is fair and reasonable within the context of what's going on.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yes. How do we apply fair and reasonable in the current climate?
And we've seen some amazing examples of frontline staff, haven't we? Sort of like going above and beyond to make things as easy as possible for people, for customers, which is incredible. But also we were talking about there being a little bit of a disconnect between what the frontline are doing and trying to do to support people, and then perhaps some of the decisions that are being taken sort of further up the line that have a real impact on both customers and frontline staff. And you could question the concept of whether fair and reasonable is really understood in those circles. I'm saying this in probably the politest way possible. I think that was quite an interesting, in the midst of everyone sort of saying about how much they were doing to support customers and frontline staff, actually there were decisions being made at a senior level that were going contrary to all of that.
Yeah. I mean, we get it. You've got a push and pull, haven't you, between customers and shareholders. But in the current climate, you know, if you put the fair and reasonable test, and we call it the you did what test or the Daily Mail test. If you were to say you have a customer phoning up who's vulnerable and you say, actually, our process says that you can't have a mortgage holiday. I'm using an extreme example. I know businesses are doing mortgage holidays. Yeah. If you were to turn around and say, no, you can't have a mortgage holiday. You've not breached X, Y, and Z protocol. That, how is that fair and reasonable if the customer is telling you that they are really struggling?
Yeah. And I think the biggest kind of faux pas that's been made really is unfortunately the actions of some banks recently. It looks like they were trying to profit out of the difficult situations that their customers were in. We always talk about when times get tough, customers look to you as a business to find out what you're really made of. And it's, I always think it's a make or break situation that you're in at that point. And if you cock it up, for want of a better expression, then that's the lasting impression that you're going to leave with a, not just a customer, but we know many thousands of customers, about what's your motivation behind this and what's your idea of what fair and reasonable looks like. So I think of all the stuff, for me, out of all the stuff the FCA published, I think this most telling thing was about what's fair and reasonable in the circumstances of what's happening today. And I think that's a massive clue to businesses about what they should be doing, even though they haven't said it specifically.
No, I think we're looking at our exceptional times, and touch wood, fingers crossed, those times are going to come to a close at some point. And customers are battening down the hatches and looking for you to support them. But when things start to settle down, and if you've not stuck to your brand, you've not done what's fair and reasonable, they will walk and they will make complaints. So it may not be that they make a complaint now, but they very likely will in the future. If you've not played fair and reasonable with them, then they will make a complaint when they have the resilience and the resources to do so. So if we talked about what was it you used a phrase last week and I really liked it, was it leak through? It was like a leak through or a bleed through. You were talking about the wave of complaints.
It's just the ripple effect of what happens afterwards.
So obviously you some businesses, not all businesses, are seeing a complaint spike now. Some will see them a month, 2, 3, 4 months into the future, depending on the products that they're selling, depending on who your customers are. So you're going to see this like ripple effect. And I'm doing a ripple effect hand motion, but you're not going to see it because it's audio.
I can. It's really good.
But obviously, at some point, everything will calm down. People will get... the new normal will be normal. And that's when you will see people walk with their feet or complaints, and you will have potentially people that complained at some point in that process come and complain again when things are settled down, because it's you've either not sorted it properly or there's been another ripple effect off the back of something that you've tried to quick fix it. So fair and reasonable for us doesn't just mean you treat them fair and reasonable. You're looking at it through the complaints handling lens as well. So, yes, we're in difficult times, but is what you're offering them to get them to, for want of a better word, go away and leave you alone for a bit, or are you actually fixing it?
Yeah, and I think there's a bit about we're going to have to do something a bit different to what we've always done before. And I think probably that's what the banks and everyone else fell foul of last week, which was reverting back to the normal response that you would make in a situation that presented itself in a non-COVID-19 environment. But actually, these exceptional times call for exceptional and creative thought processes.
Yeah.
And to do something differently. And so that would be my message to businesses in terms of like how the, you know, what does fair and reasonable look like? What's the FCA looking for? I think it's to do something differently to what you've done before, to respond in a different way, and to think about it's not just it's reputational, it's also the longevity, the sustainability of what you're trying to do. And like you've said before, the out loud test, if you actually spoke to somebody about what you're proposing who has nothing to do with financial services and you just look at their face, that tells you everything you need to know about whether it sounds reasonable or not.
Yeah, I described this last week to somebody who works in financial services, and I said, if you were to replace fair and reasonable with common sense, would it then make more sense to businesses? Would they then understand what the FCA is driving at? You know, so common sense would be, you know, empowering your staff to make small awards and get things resolved as soon as. Common sense would be looking at a complaint on its own merits and coming up with a tailored and individual complaints resolution, rather than just using the same old processes. Like you say, you need to be adaptable and think on your feet with solutions here. You can't just try out the same tired things that have been doing before.
No, and people's memories are long, aren't they? And I think that's the other thing that as an industry we carry on our back, which is that and the media did this straight away, which was, hang on a minute, we bailed you out when we need you, where are you? So people's memories are long, and if you do anything to kind of like poke the bear again, then you've got to deal with the consequences of that. And we're seeing that happen for the frontline staff that are dealing with the, you know, reported increase in the amount of complaints that are being made by customers that don't like what they've seen and heard. Unfortunately, it completely destroys all the great work that's going on around as too, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. It's it is interesting that that's straight, you know, media has gone straight for that, where we bailed you out in 2009, you know, 11 years ago. But it does still ring true. People do have long memories.
So, yeah, well, especially when they keep getting reminded of it.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's right. We did bail them out in 2009.
Yeah, I forgot about that. But now you mention it. Yeah, great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I will make my complaint, because that I remember that specifically, bailing them out myself.
And I think the same is true. You know, in some respects, people were talking about what FOS would be looking for. And I don't think they're looking for anything really different to what they've always looked for, which is it's individual to that customer, and it's got to be fair, and it's got to be a reasonable solution or a response to that customer's need, isn't it? And again, that they talked about a very similar thing about in the circumstances of where we are today. And I do think that's another nod to be creative as a business. Yeah. Don't do what you've always done before. Think about the longevity of your actions and the impact that it's going to have, both for the individual, but also for the marketplace, I think, more generally. If we sent a whole load of people into a situation where their credit rating goes down, that has significant impacts for people for years, and that will depress the market. So what do we want as an industry?
That's it, isn't it? It's not just thinking, it so many things for you to think about, especially in the current climate, where, you know, you're very likely firefighting and probably thinking, well, what can we do to get through day to day? But unfortunately, you have to balance it against the long term as well, because the last thing the FCA wants is for businesses to be nosediving or going out of the market. They want to keep the market stable. Mm. So, and that does filter down into the actions that you take as a brand, keeping people retained, helping them out when they're struggling, isn't it?
Yeah, it's trust.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't it? That's the word we're grasping for, isn't it? Trust.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, when everything else is a little bit shaky, when you see a little one kind of like shoot of something good, you hold on to it, don't you, I think? And so that's going to be from a, I don't know, I hate saying it, like a return on investment perspective. But, you know, if you prove your worth now, if you show you are reasonable, if you do the right thing, that will pay you back so much more than any kind of marketing campaign could ever do. We all know that it's not rocket science, but every now and again we need to be reminded of it, and I suppose just be very human about it.
Yeah,
but creative.
It's almost taking that step up in customer service, isn't it? You know, it's taking it to the next level. We talk about empathy, we talk about trust, but really, in times of crisis, that's when you really need to be bringing it to the fore, isn't it?
Definitely. Yeah, you've got to step up.
Yeah. Yeah, and empower your staff to be able to do that. Because if you're handing down missives and messaging that is making their job harder, then again, you're also damaging your brand in terms of your staff being ambassadors, aren't you? Because they will walk as well when all this is over.
Yeah,
they will also walk with their feet.
Yeah, yeah, and we've said about that before, haven't we? That your staff should be your priority.
Definitely,
because they're the ones that are going to keep you going.
Yeah, through tough times, they will. And that obviously you want to keep them as engaged as you possibly can.
Absolutely, yeah.
Can't be withdrawing all the support and the training, because that, you know, they need those to keep them going, their resilience to keep it going.
Absolutely, yeah. So there's a lot, I mean, it's no like small feat, is it? There's a lot for people to be thinking about, but I don't think the FCA or FOS have issued this magic get out clause for any of us at all. I think very much it's about, they're looking for us as an industry to prove we've got this and we can do it in the right way. And COVID-19, like we said this just before we started recording this, didn't we? COVID-19 isn't an excuse for cocking up loads of stuff or being rude to people. It's just like that's not the reason for it. There's other stuff going on, and you need to deal with that, not use it as an excuse.
Exactly. There's a whole, well, I think we were talking before this, we started recording, there's going to be a blog post about this, because we know that businesses are, their root cause analysis, one of their new potential labels that they're going to use is COVID-19. And there's reasons that is not a good idea for the current climate and moving forward. So we're going to do a blog post about that to give you some ideas about why that is not a good idea to do that. Mm. But yeah, watch that. Watch this space for that. And also, we've got a big announcement coming up today. You're going to be getting this tomorrow.
Talk about all the days merging into one.
I know. Oh, God, don't. The weekend is no longer the weekend. It's just another day, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, we've got a big, we've got some big announcements coming up in terms of how we are looking to support businesses going forward through this crisis, because it is a crisis, and beyond. Mm. So watch our LinkedIn feed for more information, basically.
Yeah, stay tuned. I think hopefully it will be something that can actually support people right now and just help them to come out of it the other side fitter and leaner, more resilient.
Yeah, I think, well, it will help them.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Let's face it, there's an awful lot of information going around about what we should know, but at the moment, no tangible actions. And that's kind of what we're doing. So we're looking at how our training can help you through COVID and then beyond. So
Yeah,
so watch this space. So we hope that's been useful. Obviously, there's so much to think about at the moment that we appreciate that this might just be a whole other load of stuff to think about. But there's so much learning that can be taken from a crisis like this that obviously it pays to maybe just have it on the back burner rather than just think, oh, well, COVID-19, deal with it later. Mm-hmm. It's worth bearing in mind that there is life after COVID. And that's really part of your focus needs to be there as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Couldn't agree more.
But yeah, thank you for listening. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks again.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.